right, we made it, buddy. Tabarnak. Samson. Copperman.
Sébastien.
Are you a Marty McFly, buddy?
I don't know who that is.
You don't know Marty McFly? Back to the Future movie.
Okay.
You never saw Back to the Future movie? It's weird how the new generation don't care about the past, you know what I mean? Yeah. Nobody care about the past, they just focus in the future.
True.
Welcome to No BS with SB. Are you alright?
Good to
you
be
have your water.
My water.
Yeah, the parking. I put the timer, so okay. After 1 hour, it's going to be like 3:05.
Okay.
So your parking is 3:17.
Right.
And you don't have the apps.
No, I don't have the apps.
But do you use parking often?
Yeah.
Because you should have the apps, so
yeah,
you have less stress. So I just want to look if you're beautiful, all right?
Okay.
Did you sleep well?
Yeah, everyone's telling me I look pale though.
Yeah,
I don't know. You're
not the guy I know.
Really?
Yeah.
I look different?
Yeah, because the guy I know is always curious, always asking questions.
Okay.
You know, and now you arrive like,
okay.
Is it because of the podcast?
No, I just woke up, you know, I'm used
okay.
to seeing you later at night when my blood's pumping, you know?
Yeah. Because you're the only guy, every time I go to an open mic, come to see me and talk, you chill, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you like that with everybody?
It depends who I'm talking to, you know? Like, I've learned that, like, if I'm meeting a comic that I don't really know that well, and like maybe he has like a career going, like, I learned that if I try to be funny around him, I could be annoying. So I just, sometimes I let the other guy just be funny and I'll just, you know, be calm. Depends
so,
on what.
So
but if I'm with you, we're like down to earth, like I've known you for a long time, you know?
So who told you that you're annoying?
No, it's my opinion.
Oh, it's your, so
it's
you put you all, you put you, this kind of
judge
perception.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
I don't know. You never know, you know, you don't, you, can
you never know. Yeah, but never know. I will not talk to this guy in case I'm annoyed.
For example, okay?
Okay.
I was having dinner with a comic who's like kind of famous.
Okay. Kind of, what is kind of famous? Like
yeah.
Louis C.K.?
Yeah, in a sense. Canada for sure, okay?
Okay, Canada.
And
kind of famous is Canada.
And I kept saying to him, like, oh, you should check out this podcast. It's so funny. And I forgot that he has a career and a whole thing he's creating.
Yeah.
I should have been saying your podcast.
Yeah.
You know, just for networking at least.
Yes.
Just to be respectful. But instead I was treating him like an equal. And I've learned that that could be a little alienating, you know?
So are you innocent or cocky? You know what I mean? Or both?
Just lack of awareness.
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, but you know, you're so you're curious. You want to succeed.
Curious.
You want to find a secret path.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But no secret path in comedy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to bomb every night until,
I
think I'm funny, you know? Because
yeah.
I think you work hard. Do you think you work hard?
I do work hard.
Do you
hard.
Think you should work harder?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So, because every time I do an open mic, you're there. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. Hopefully I'll be at less open mics in the future.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, so, but what is your ultimate goal? Do you do comedy because it's a hobby? Or you want someday pay your rent? Or
yeah,
be recognized at Tim Horton?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, okay, like if I could make like a teacher's salary just doing comedy, to me that's like you won life at that point, you know?
So why you said teacher?
Because they got a bad reputation for not making enough.
Yeah, what, like 40, 50?
Yeah, something like that. But if I could make like enough money that I'm self-sufficient through just telling my jokes and my stories, then that's like I'm plugged out of the matrix, you know?
Oh, wow, great
you
metaphor,
know I mean?
Yeah.
You know?
No, you're right. You work for yourself.
Yeah.
So let's start with, do you have
you
a brother and sister?
Yeah, I have a big family actually. I have 4 siblings.
What is siblings?
Like brothers and sisters.
Yeah, but how many brothers?
Right, so I have two half brothers.
Two
so
half brothers.
Same mother, but
okay.
Different father.
Okay.
One younger sister, same mother and father.
Okay.
And then one older sister, different father.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Different? What do you mean by different?
Like not the same father.
Okay,
yeah.
So you have 3 fathers?
Yes.
Wow.
No. I have one father.
Yeah. But it's always a father.
I was raised with my biological parents.
Okay.
But it was cool though, because I was growing up with like people that are like now they're in their like late 30s. So like I was exposed to like all the funny movies of their generation when I was too young to watch. But I would just like sit on the couch and watch with them.
Yeah.
So I always thought that I was a bit ahead of the curve from my friends at my age when I was younger in terms of like what was funny. You know, and certain movies that my friends weren't allowed to watch because they were too young, I was always, like, exposed to, you know, things that I was too young for, but my brothers and sisters were always like letting me tag along.
Okay, so yeah, like same that at the time, me when no PG, no 13, no 16. Mm. So I watched a lot of movies.
Oh, there was no ratings when you
No. So I watched Poltergeist at 6 years old, you know. I watched a lot of Freddy Krueger movie, you know.
Yeah.
And I was not supposed to see that. So is it because you're in a big family, you need so much attention?
I thought about that, yeah. Yeah, I remember when I was like 5 years old, I started making like goat sounds, and my sister, who always ignored me, was like, "Hey, he's actually, hey, I actually like him now."
Can you do that?
Yeah. Well, I would put a cup in my mouth, and I'd just be like, it was so stupid. It was not funny at all.
Yes, it is.
I would put a cup and run around the house making goat sounds, and then all of a sudden I'm being noticed, and I think that.
Yeah, but first of all, where did you find?
It wasn't a good goat sound.
No, it was amazing.
Oh, okay.
No, trust me.
Okay.
Are you tough on yourself?
Yeah.
Are you funny?
I think so, yeah.
You're not tough?
Not tough myself, I think.
You're funny, but are you funny?
I'm funny.
See, if you know you're funny, you know this joke was funny.
Okay.
No, maybe not anymore because you're an adult, but yeah, at the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When I was in grade four, I was a headliner. Grade four, I was the headliner, for sure.
Because a kid's... Why did you find, like, did you see that in a movie? Why did you know this is going to be funny?
I don't know. I think it's because, okay, I can tell you if you want to go a little more in depth. My mom always gets up when she tells a story, but the stories that she tells are, like, weird. But my dad is always sitting like this, but he makes the funniest comments. So I think combined created me. You know?
Okay, wow. Yeah. Created you the way you think.
Yeah, so like I always want the attention and I have to be physical, but I think I inherited my father's observations, his observational humor, for sure.
Who you want to impress, your mother or your father? In general?
Impress? I mean...
Yeah, you want to be proud of you?
I think... Well, they've come to a couple shows. They once came to... The first show they came to, I did okay. I was really nervous. It was like two.
No, when you're young.
Oh, when I was young.
Yeah.
I wasn't really thinking about impress.
Is it somebody else?
No, I looked up.
Is it your sister or one of them?
Who's my role model that I look up to, you mean?
Yeah. You want to, yeah.
Well, I looked up to my karate instructor a lot. Like, okay. Yeah, I used to do karate.
Oh, is it because
you... I was obsessed with karate.
Is it because you get bullying?
No. No, I was, if anything, I was the one who was not physical, but psychological.
Oh, yeah. you're still like that, huh?
I think so, sometimes.
Because I saw something at the Grenouille in summer.
Oh, yeah?
You remember the guy who took you like that?
Yeah.
But you did not use karate?
No, I had a bodyguard.
Ah, you used
the
yin and the yang.
Yeah.
It's going to go. Yeah.
A crazy situation because, when he hit me,
yeah,
I don't know if we're supposed to be talking about this.
Oh yes,
I'm not
going
to say
it. No, don't say his name. Yeah. It's no BS with SB.
Okay, no BS with SB.
You know, you're the bullying guy.
Right. No, I'm not the bullying guy.
You're the buller.
I'm just nutty.
You bullying people.
I'm just nutty. I'm just nutty.
Why?
But I mean well. I have a good heart. You know?
Think?
Yeah.
So is it possible to mix that?
Yeah, it's just, look, some people...
Oh, you can have a good heart when you laugh about other people.
Because it's festive.
Yeah, but the guy was not festive.
Well, I learned my lesson then.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, I understand.
Like, if you go to... You have a dog who likes sniffing around at the dog park. There's some dog that might bite the dog.
Yes.
It doesn't necessarily mean that the dog was bad.
Wow, what a great metaphor, tabarnak.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow. You're right.
I prepared for this.
So you don't sniff anymore?
Depends whose ass I'm sniffing. Depends whose ass I'm sniffing, for sure.
So let's talk about that. Don't say the name, but what's happened?
Yeah, it was just a funny situation. When he hit me in my neck, I didn't realize that he was serious because it was such a weak hit that I was like, what? I laughed and I was like, what? And by the time I could process, he was already being like pushed away from me.
So you never saw that coming?
I never saw it coming. Never saw it coming.
Okay, so what is the reason why you did that?
Honestly, I can't really justify it. It's not justifiable. It's I think it was erratic behavior. Yeah.
Erratic behavior. What is erratic behavior?
Like, for example, imagine if I hit you right now and you don't expect it, and then I give my reason. Well, because you asked me a question I didn't like. Something you didn't expect, you know, like violence.
So you don't deserve that.
No.
So what did you say to him?
If that's the case, Don Rickles would be murdered by now.
Yeah. So, but the Did you see, what why you react? What was the reason?
My perception.
I never told you.
I know he did. My perception is because I made a comment referring to a comment that I made 3 years ago. So 3 years ago, I was on stage and I made a comment that I admit was wrong, and okay. It was an attempt at humor. That in hindsight, I figured, okay, I shouldn't have said that. And, you know, we talked it out, and I thought it dissipated. And then 3 years later, as a joke, I was like, you know, he's with a girl at the show. Oh, you're with a girl. I'm not going to say anything. And that's what triggered it. Just that little reference triggered it again, and I didn't expect it at all.
So he kept that for 3 years?
I guess so.
Yeah.
And it's ironic because at the end of the whole situation, his comment was, I thought we squashed this. So I'm thinking, if we squashed it, why would you even react then? If it's finished, then you should have laughed.
So did you make peace with him?
I think now I just parted ways. You know, I'm moving with my direction.
Okay.
I hopefully.
I never saw him again after that.
Good.
You?
No.
No, it's true. I saw him one time at the open mic.
Yeah.
I saw the situation, and after that, I never saw him again. So is it a comedian? Is it a real comedian?
I don't,
because
it's not up to me to decide.
No, but you know what I mean? Do you see him somewhere else?
Yeah, I saw him one other night.
Because maybe sometime when you don't do comedy often and you bomb.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
It's easy to find an excuse. Maybe you're the excuse.
I'll give you an example. Like I was approached again by the same individual at another open mic, and he kind of was getting in my face because he wanted to talk to me about it, but I didn't want to because I was hosting a show.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm hosting.
You want to focus.
I'm busy, right?
Yeah.
And then at the end of the show, he's getting in my face. So then finally, I told the runner of that show, I was like, look, I can't work like that. Tell him that if he does that again, he's banned. And they said, okay. So I don't know what happened, but, you know, I think I saw him again, and he seems to just mind his own business now. I'm actually doing a competition on the October 19th, and he's booked on it.
Whoa, so, what a bad timing. Yeah. Oh, no. So it's like a Karate Kid movie, man. Are you gonna do like this movement?
No, man.
So you never use karate?
I once in my life. Okay. It was the stupidest situation. I was at sleepaway camp, which is like all the Jewish kids go to sleepaway camp.
Okay. Me too. I went there.
Yeah,
it's fun. Oh, yeah. I was in the script. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, the scouts.
Scouts.
That's cool. Yeah, okay, that's a little more.
I was a gray wolf.
Okay.
Team.
At least you learn skills like for life, you know.
I learned to not get raped by the old people.
Okay.
You know.
Right. I learned how to get a hand job, and I was like, super.
All right, we learned some stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It's my first time. what was I gonna say? Fuck.
But you say karate fight in the campaign.
Yeah. No, there wasn't a fight, but like there were. Okay, so we had kids from Israel who would come into it's a Jewish sleepaway camp, and the Israeli kids were always paired with the kids from France. And that whole group didn't really communicate with the Canadian kids. And they would, like, the kids from France would dress in, like, model tight pants. Like, before tight pants was really in style for kids in my age group, they were dressing, like, stylish. And we're in the woods, you know? Like,
yeah.
You're not supposed to dress in, like, you know, white pants that are tight. And no. You know what I mean? So it looked kind of weird, and we didn't really
want to. So you make a
joke? And the showers, they would always wear bathing suits because they didn't want to be naked in the showers, which makes sense, I guess. Why would I want to be naked around you? But when you go to the gym at the Y, for example, like everyone's naked, it's just a custom. Like it's normal for some reason. So because they always wear bathing suits, like obviously all the jokes are like, oh, but they have small dicks. Like, you know, like little things.
And
like
you're
that.
The buller a lot.
I'm not the buller. You're making me look like a bad person.
No.
You're not a bully. It was just messing around, you know?
Come on. But what a bad timing.
Technically, yeah.
You know, if you saw Karate Kid, the movie,
right? Yeah.
You're not the hero. Like,
no.
You're the guy in the gang, okay? And it's not, they are not mad. Did you see the Cobra Kai?
I'll give you an example.
But did you see Cobra Kai?
No.
So, listen. Karate Kid 1, 2, 3 is the movie. 20 years later, they made Cobra Kai.
Okay.
So, Cobra Kai, it's on Netflix. Okay? It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's 20 years later. The hero and the bad guy meet together.
It's a sequel,
It's a sequel, but you know what? And you learn why the bullier was like that.
I see. You get the backstory.
Yeah, and it's amazing all the perception we have when we rewatch the movies. Not the same, you know what I mean? Okay. So I know what you said. You're not the bad guy.
I'll tell you who I was in high school, okay? If I saw an actual bully like doing this to a kid's head, I wouldn't help the kid.
Wow.
I wouldn't help the bully, but I would look at my friend and be like, yo, he just grabbed his head. And I would make observational jokes. So I was always like in the middle,
I think if
I think I was like you, honestly. I think we have something in common. Like, we're just funny guys who just stay in our lane. I just stay in my lane, you know?
Yeah, but I think you will do that. You will just stop doing that to him. And the guy go out and he said, thank you so much. No. It's my turn. No, man.
I'm not. Look at me. I'm not the.
I know, but the attitude.
Maybe the attitude. The attitude.
Because you have a strong personality.
I guess so. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's fun. You know.
Yeah. on stage, I saw you often, and it's like you're not scared.
No.
Is it because you hide it, or you're not scared?
No, because I remember I met you at a show like years ago, and I told you how I look at shows. Like, when I'm in the shower and I'm doing my set in the shower, I'm practicing jokes, or I have an idea.
With shorts?
No. But I'm saying, like, I'm on stage. If I see a guy in the front row like this, like, that used to affect me, but now it's just imaginary.
He disappeared.
Yeah, because why should I give that power over me?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So instead, it took a few years though, but I finally made that switch where I could now just move into it and not care. Like, it's like I'm prepared, I want to do well, but I don't let negative things have an effect on me, because that's just not going to make it go well.
I know, but my question was, why you're so confident on stage?
Well, also, today is also my anniversary. I'm a year from having cancer. I cured cancer.
Really?
I had cancer a year ago, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, you didn't know that, man.
Yeah. Thyroid cancer.
Oh, man.
Nice.
Yeah, cancer of what?
Thyroid.
What? Wow.
I have a little scar there.
Wow. So nothing scares you anymore because you're supposed to be dead.
Not supposed to be dead. I'll tell you, my doctor was a horrible doctor. So
shout out to him.
I was going to sue him, actually, but then apparently it's like in Quebec, it's like David and Goliath, so it's like very hard to deal with that kind of thing in Quebec.
Well, no, but you can make a complaint to the doctor.
The Collège de Médecine.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah, you should.
Because I called the lawyer, and even the lawyer was like, imagine, maybe she's not good at selling her business. She's like, look, it's like David and Goliath, and it might not work out, and don't get down on yourself if you lose. Because if I lose the case, this guy is such a savage. He's a lawyer and a doctor, so he's going to probably represent himself for all I know, and he could even fucking sue me for wasting his time. Like, I've heard of people doing that. You can even sue somebody for an emotional...
Before to go there, because you just talk about other...
Sorry, yeah.
You.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think he deserves to be...
I think so, yeah. So I think it was...
You know my point?
Yeah.
So why you think you should?
I'll tell you why. Because for like 2 years, I was just feeling worse and worse and sicker. And I was complaining to my doctor. And we were doing different tests. But he was always doing like very baseline tests. And I always had a thyroid condition, and he would always assure me it's being managed. So I'm like, okay, it's being managed, fine. I wasn't always taking my pills either, because I never was explained how important it was. When he told, if I told you, this is how he talked to me, so your thyroid is inactive, you have to take this every day. I thought it was like vitamins. I was like, okay, whatever, I have a low thyroid count. What is that, like vitamin B12? For all I know, it's not important. I was never explained, A, was never explained how important it was, and B, as time's going on, I'm getting sicker and sicker. I'm explaining to him, I feel sick, it's not working, something's wrong. He tells me, okay, you need Ativan. Ativan, which is like, you know what Ativan is? It's like Xanax.
Okay.
It's like, oh, you have anxiety. You need Xanax to basically shut me up, you know? So I go on the Ativan, and I'm high basically on Ativan. So I'm like, hey, this feels good. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm like basically high now, and then that stops working. Then I have no energy, and I started feeling something swallowing. I have trouble swallowing. So I was like, all right, there's something going on. So through a gastro specialist, which is not even that part of the body, even he was like, wait a minute, your thyroid levels are not being managed. He looked at levels, like they're actually completely...
Oh, you saw another doctor.
Saw another doctor, and he actually said, actually, your thyroid's not being managed at all. We're going to look into that. And I did a very simple ultrasound, which is no radiation, just ultrasound of the neck. Boom, right away, they were like, there's a mutation, which when you hear the word mutation, you know that's not nothing.
It's not X-Men movie.
Exactly. It's not a good thing. I was like, all right, this is kind of fucked up.
So the guy, he had the same equipment. He could do that right away.
Or he could have sent me somewhere.
Yeah.
And you know what his reason was? Listen, if we send everybody to get an ultrasound, then there's going to be huge lineups.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And I was like, that
told you that?
I have it on recording even. What? I record my last session with my doctor. I even recorded it on my phone. So, I still have it on my phone.
So if you have proof, if you have another doctor, why are you scared?
I don't know. Because the lawyer on the phone made it sound like she's compassionate, but
she was like... Because he, the lawyer talk about him. Right. I don't want to fight Goliath for you.
I guess
but
so.
you just find another attorney or just complain.
Pretty much, just say,
hey, it was not good. Can you look this guy? Because you know how many times people choke like you? Yeah. And at the end, 20 people, if they
it's true.
You know what I mean?
It's true, exactly. I could be the first hero.
2020, it's like, you know, because doctors have so much power, and at the same time, they work so hard, they always miss something. Because they don't focus at the moment present about you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He said, so when did you realize the guy was not a good doctor?
Okay, I'll give you an example. When I told him, I prepared it in a sneaky way when I recorded it. I asked him, so everything's fine with the thyroid, right? He goes, it's being managed. I told you it's fine, Samson. And then I go, okay, well...
You said your first name, Samson?
Yeah.
Wow.
Why is that weird?
Because you don't know him.
It's true.
Mr. Copperman. Man.
That's true. I never even thought of that, but you're right. Yeah, he's talking to me like he's my friend.
Or you're nobody, you know? Like,
exactly.
You waste my time, you know?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, yeah! So this is my cappuccino body. And this is your chamomile tea.
Thank you.
And you asked for honey, eh?
It's about to put hot water in it.
Thank you. To make some noise, Bobby. This is the Peroni, man.
Yeah.
Do you love Peroni?
I love Peroni. I did a show with you in April.
Yeah, I know. It was great, eh?
It was good. I remember.
Shout out to Ali and Sid.
Shout out.
Yeah, I love this place. They give me the opportunity to do my podcast. So why did you stop caffeine?
Because I have it's a Jewish thing. Like I have IBS, which is like I get like digestive and like, the anxiety manifests itself in my stomach.
Yeah, me too.
Sorry.
Sorry about that.
Merci.
No, I'm a 50-year-old man now.
No, really?
Yeah.
Is it because of your gland thyroid?
I don't know. It'd be nice. I always say it'd be nice if my body could function on its own for 2 weeks. You know, like that's always something.
You're right. I'm 45, so I should stop drinking. Milk, coffee, and sugar.
Oh, and my liver is screwed up too, by the way.
Really?
I'm the next Richard Mullen. my body's falling apart.
Shout out to Richard Mullen, man.
I'm not trying to steal his thunder or anything, but...
Yeah.
I'm the next comedian with his
body.
Man,
you're funny. You should be a comedian, buddy. So, let's talk about that. So, Nomi, is it true or your kidney?
My liver.
Your liver?
It's called non-alcoholic fatty liver.
Oh, you drink too much?
No, it's just a condition that I have. They don't even know why. Which, when a doctor says they don't know, like, that's not good, you know? Like,
yeah, but they never know.
I guess, it's not... It means that there's some fat around the liver, and it's not processing things properly, so...
I think you talk about me, man. What side is the liver?
I think it's on this side.
Okay, no, this side is great.
Okay.
It's here.
That side, I don't know what that is.
I think it's the pancreas.
No, pancreas is more...
I think it's the...
Kidney, spleen?
Le foie?
Yeah.
No, I don't know what to say.
I should know all this by now. I used to read the pharmacy manual.
So let's go back. Okay, so you do again the goat.
Oh, this one?
Yeah. So you start to do that.
Your sister,
because everything starts somewhere, man.
Dude, there's a guy watching this just like... The minute I do that.
Who cares? Which guy?
It's true.
You always think about other people. Did you realize that?
You're the first host of a show. It's like, no one's watching.
Exactly. First, nobody watching. And secondly, you think too much about other people.
It's true.
I was like that, by the way.
I always hide my Facebook status as I wait for the audience to vote. Then I put it back on my profile. If I get 3 likes, I put it back on my profile.
This is funny. You should do that on stage, man.
Okay.
But me too. First, when I start to do my podcast, I say, what people is going to think about what I say?
Yeah,
you know? It's fuck them. Who care? It's about us.
True.
Okay, you have to come back together. But if I know you have a big problem about that. It's why it's weird you're a comedian, because when you're a comedian, what is the worst thing? Everybody's gonna judging you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you always thinking about other all the time about the. You said the guy is gonna watch. Which guy?
Well, I already got a job recently, so like I was worried like what if I didn't get the job and then I apply for the job and the guy Googles me and he just sees me going bam bam. All right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like in the movie Fun with Dick and Jane. They turn the computer like, what's this?
Yeah.
He's like doing crazy shit.
Yeah. So you start there, man. You know what I mean? You realize when you do that, people laugh.
Where's the honey?
Oh, okay. You have attention. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what did you do at that? Did you start to do other song?
You know, it was always pranking, like pranking at school. We were such like litigators. Like I went to a Jewish high school because my dad's Jewish and he wanted me to be raised as a Jew. And it was so interesting. Like in other high schools, I could imagine. No.
What is raised like a Jew? What do you mean?
Jewish high school, Jewish holidays. Like my mom's Catholic, so
okay. Religion.
Exactly, religious wise, but that leaks into customs and worldview. You know.
Yeah.
And it affects your personality. If you go to jail, you're going to walk out there maybe being a little bit different than when you walked in. You know. So when you walk out of Jewish elementary school, high school, you're going to be a Jew, basically. You know. So that's probably why I have all the neuroses and things that I have, because I've been absorbing and being around all that kind of vibe, you know?
Yeah.
So what I was going to say was...
prank.
Yeah, so we would look at the rules in our school, like what we can get away with, and we would find ways to, like, you know, like we would create emails. We had this email where the students could email each other on this thing called First Class, and we figured out that if I could make a conference copying someone else's name and then email that kid from his own name and just like torment him. And we had the vice principal, who's actually a French guy, who was like, "Cooperman, you figured it out this time, you know? That was a good one, you know? Okay, you can go, you know?" Like, it was just like that, yeah.
Wow.
Mr. Brouillard, whoever's watching.
Shout out to Mr. Brouillard.
Brouillard.
So you bullying people with a...
I hate the word bullying, but you're right.
With prank?
Yeah.
How long did you do that?
It was the way that I coped in high school. Like, and I had friends who we all just fucked with each other all the time. But yeah, we definitely like had a few kids that we like pick. Like, yeah, we had this kid Anton who was from Russia, who like didn't speak English or French at all. I don't know how he got into the school. Like, he should not have been there. And his science exam in grade 9,
he should not be there.
Science exam. Yeah, about that. He's failing. On the science exam, he wrote his name and handed it in. He didn't even do the exam. So we had this whole joke, like, Anton, grade 9, best 3 years of my life. Because he kept failing grade 9, because he couldn't, yeah, he didn't know anything.
Yeah.
So I don't know where he is now. I hope, for all I know, he's like a banker right now.
Yeah. Who knows? And you're a comedian.
Yeah, probably.
It's always like that, huh? The bullying is, yeah, or never, and they are somewhere, nowhere.
Pretty much, yeah.
Drunk, nowhere, with a Camaro. Like I told you, Cobra Kai, it's you, man. You have to watch
this. That's what I'm trying to turn things around with the chamomile tea.
Exactly. Put you there, honey, man.
Yeah, you're right.
So, did you went to the college?
College, yeah. Yeah, I went to Marianopolis.
So you went to college for your parents?
No, I liked college. I actually might go to school again, actually.
On what?
What
did you do there?
For university or stage?
No, college.
College.
What do you say? Oh, you went to university too?
Yeah.
So this is for your parents.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, because.
Yeah, I didn't have a good university experience, but I had a great stageup experience.
Okay. Can I put your money for you, man?
Oh, don't worry about it.
No, I'm worried, man.
Do you want the cookie?
No.
All right.
Look at that body.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Hey, he's a good guy. Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a pretty good guy. Yeah, he's the best. He's phenomenal. Yeah, he's a pretty good guy.
So you like to do an impression?
I'm obsessed with Trump's mannerisms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to they're going to re-elect him.
I was watching this video of Trump. Did you see the video where a guy jumps on stage and the security pushes him off stage?
No.
So there's a video where a guy rushes.
You?
Like a year ago.
Okay.
But I don't know. I don't really watch TV. I cut out news from my life. It's just stress for no reason.
Me too.
And I like being stupid too, because first of all, everyone's always talking about it. I don't have to watch. Everyone's telling me the news. I don't have to watch the news and then hear it. And
you know, this is a bit on stage too.
Maybe. Yeah. Send me the tape.
You know, every time I talk to you, I say that to you, huh?
Every 2 minutes.
before we do a show.
Yeah.
Huh? But and you never said you're right. I'm gonna wrote that. Never.
Sometimes I do. Sometimes.
Oh yeah.
You don't see me all the time on stage. Like sometimes I try.
Yeah. Okay.
Like the one.
So
about
Trump.
The guy,
what's happened with
the
Trump?
One about the guy's not quite a midget. I've tried that on stage. It works. So the video with Trump though. So this guy rushes him on stage, and I was observing. This is what struck me. Like he has no. He didn't show any fear.
No, because it was arranged.
Maybe.
Oh yeah. You know what I mean? But because.
Wait, what are you doing?
I work, man. Let's see. I worked. You said, hey, why you sweat? I said, tabarnak, because I walk, I see 30 minutes like that, and after that, I have to build that.
Right.
At the end, who's going to complain? You know, I said, oh, the sound sucked, the video was, you know what I mean? This is not like here when I arrive. Mm. So I'm stressed, man. And you know, I have to work I have to talk with you about who you are.
Right.
Do you think it's easy, tabarnak?
No, it's not.
You don't give me juice, Carlis.
I owe you $300.
You know what I mean? And I have two other after you.
Jason.
You know what I mean?
I talked to Jason last night. He's doing it at 6 p.m., I think.
You know what I mean? So, yes, I'm stressed, man. It's not easy, man. And you're like, you sweat? Fuck you. Yes, I sweat, tabarnak. So, listen, can you come back, man, with me, man?
Sure, yeah.
Be there. See, I need you.
Yeah. Wait. Go where?
Go to give me you the 100% of you.
Yeah, I'm doing that right now.
No, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
100.
That's what I'm doing.
Not the fuck the people who don't know is going to watch it. You know what I mean?
I'm being myself.
Okay, so yeah. Trump.
Well, I didn't finish what I was saying. You just ran away and you started
Because you
me.
Continue, man. Let's okay, I'm going to do it again. Okay, let's go. Continue.
Okay, I was going to say the thing with Trump, though. Like,
yeah.
So I'm just talking into the
camera. Yeah, continue, tabarnak.
So there's a video where like this guy rushes him on stage, and instead of like, you know, when someone tries to kill you, you process for a second, holy shit, I almost just got killed, you know? Like there's a bit of like, fear is a normal emotion, at least for a few seconds. Instead of showing any fear, he just goes right back into speaking. So the observation that I got out of it was, that's like kind of like a sociopath in the sense that he showed no fear. You know, like bullet flies right past his head. Okay, like he just goes right back into his speech.
Yeah,
you know?
Because this guy never worked where you are. Never, you know, he has everything. He's born rich.
Pretty much.
You know what I mean? And he screwed everybody. He bankrupt every time. Everybody, you know, they never get paid. He doesn't care. It's weird that nobody tried to kill him.
Well, somebody did try to kill him.
Nah.
Unless you think it's all staged.
I think it's staged. Because maybe. Like you said, or if
he has experience in WWF, so it's possible.
If it's that stress about somebody trying to kill him, it's weird, you don't think?
Yeah, he just turned to the guy like this. Then again, he has like 30 security guards there too, but...
Yeah, but...
He's actually the kind of kid who would like mock somebody at school and then... Actually, I kind of see myself in it now. Where he would fuck with somebody and then the guy tries to kill him and then his security comes in and he goes like this. Like, as if he's the tough guy, but really because he has his security.
But it's...
And in a way, I did that at the fucking Grenouille show.
Yeah, but people elect him, man.
Right.
Think about that.
Maybe I'll get elected one day, then.
You want to be a president?
No.
And the black face with Justin Trudeau, what do you think about that? Do you think it's
weird.
Too much?
It was weird.
It's too much.
Want to know something? Because he's not a funny guy, so when he painted his body all black, he wasn't even being funny. He was like... Like, I saw the video.
No, but you
so
think
weird.
It's too much to criticism him?
Oh, the critic of him.
Yeah, come on. It's was in...
Well, look, he's a hypocrite. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. So that level of hypocrisy, like, people are obviously going to address that. You know, thank God they're addressing it. Because if the media disignored it, then I would be suspicious. So, whatever, he's going to face that. And then...
Oh, you apologized 50,000 times.
Yeah. From what I know,
he said, I should know at that time that it was... Come on.
People I've spoken to for him, against him, nobody really seems to care.
Yeah.
Because we all know... Like, I had a friend in high school who was Shaquille O'Neal. He painted his whole body black. And we were all applauding him on how funny it was. Even though it wasn't that funny, it was just cheesy.
Yeah.
It was kind of tacky.
Yeah.
So he obviously wasn't doing it to be racist.
Yeah.
He was trying to be funny, but he's not a funny guy.
Yeah.
So it was just when you try to be funny and you do something offensive without the funny, what's left? The offensive.
Yeah, but it
so
was
all that's left is the cringe.
Yeah,
part.
But it was a Aladdin night.
Yeah.
And he this guy's an Aladdin. You know what I mean? So
pretty much.
So let's go back.
I saw a funny comment on Facebook about how like he looks like he went to a trip to the sun or something. I forget.
He looks like an
Aladdin if he went to a tanning salon or something. I forget what it was, but
so let's go back when you're young, when you realize you make your sister laugh about the sound, the goat sound. Okay.
Oh, that was so dumb.
So you know
that. Talking on like the dumbest thing I've ever done in my whole life for like.
No, because it's who you are.
I guess so.
If
yeah.
you never did that, maybe you will never be here.
I guess, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you try at the time to find something.
I used to terrorize my neighbors, too.
To make people laugh, you know? Yeah, so let's go there.
Okay, yeah. So I used to print out... I had this thing. I created this thing called the Idiot's News. I was like 6 years old. No, I was like 10 years old, okay? I would go on my computer. I would make fake news... make newspapers and print them out. And I just called it the Idiot's News. And I put like stars, like 5 stars. And it was... The front page would be like...
Wow.
George Bush and Osama bin Laden having sex or something. Like, the next page is like Michael Jackson, like,
wow.
personal account of why he...
You invent a journal.
You know, like, The Onion and all that stuff?
Yeah, I didn't
even know that existed. So I would write, like, you know, fake news things with...
Funny.
The most offensive, absurd things. Like, literally gay porn with, like, George Bush and Osama bin Laden's face and, like, breaking news.
Is it the reason why your father sent you in the Jewish school?
I don't know.
Because he thought you lost your mind?
I don't know.
Or he said, wow, you're very creative.
No, my mind was always like, yeah, I was a mental kid for sure. I was a handful. And then I would go in my sister, I put my sister's rain jacket on with her boots, and I would go to my neighbor's front door and put it in their mail thing on their door. And if they saw me, they would think it was my sister. So then they would see my sister with the jacket on, and they'd be like, how come her knees are smaller? You know, like... They would be confused, you know. So I would like do weird shit like that.
Yeah,
you know?
You always.
I can't believe it. Yeah.
The first thing you said, I said, I'm not a bolero guy.
No, I'm just crazy.
okay, so.
Dude, if you're on the street and a homeless guy goes, are you gonna say like he's mean spirited? He's just out of his mind, you know.
So, but why you say that?
Because I'm saying like I'm not like. I mean well, but the things I do might not match that.
Okay, but let's talk. Why you decide to put your sister coat to go at the you know what I mean? Why?
Camouflage.
Because you want to stole.
Hide identity.
You want to stole the.
No, I want to put the news, the thing that I printed, in my neighbor's mailbox.
Because you're ashamed of your stuff. Because
no, it's it's a secret agent, like you know?
Secret agent,
yeah.
But you show it's displaced. You know what I mean?
Right.
After if your sister says not me, it's gonna be you after.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
So it's the alibi. I never got caught
until now.
You never get caught.
She's like probably 100 years old right now in the hospital bed watching.
She
like
said,
this.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
I missed the month of September.
Yeah.
You know, how long did you do that? Put your newspaper there?
Just a few times. I was like, I was known among my friends for making the funniest PowerPoints. So I would like take a picture of a kid in my class and make funny PowerPoint presentations on my computer. So behind me, everyone's laughing and the teacher doesn't know what the fuck's going on. You know. So I
did you keep
like,
that?
Did
you keep that? Oh,
no.
Oh, it's sad.
My friend has screenshots. I can show you after. Like,
yeah.
My friend has screenshots, and it was just the craziest. Like, it was definitely the purest form of, because this was before I even watched stand up or before I ever
exactly.
So
it's inside
the,
you,
it was
man.
The, it
it's
was,
why it's amazing.
It was the purest form of myself.
Yeah. It's
know?
Why you should use that. Use it now. You know. Do you use it now?
Yeah, no, I took me. Here's what happened. Okay, when I started comedy, there was a year or so where I'll admit I was becoming kind of hacky because I didn't know how to translate my humor into a stand up like The Craft.
Yeah,
you know, to do stand up, it's not the same thing. You know, like it's like when you watch Kenny versus Spenny, and then you tell Kenny and Spenny to do comedy on stage, it might not be as funny as the show.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure how to hone it. And then I started watching comedy and I was like, oh, he does it that way, he does it that way. And then you watch all your influences, next thing you know, you're so influenced that you're like, whoa, I have to stop watching all this because I don't want to become a hack and sound like somebody else.
So what act did you...
The first comedy I ever saw was, that I can remember his name, was, I believe it was Bill Burr on YouTube, that I was like, this guy's fucking hilarious. Like when he was doing all the Hitler jokes and he was talking about, you know, seeing a girl in the metro getting pinched and she's like, ah, and the next thing you know, I'm going to be the guy going, ah, like that joke. I was like, I didn't even know you can tell a joke like that. I thought stand-up was lame when I thought stand-up was like, bah, bah, bah,
Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, and I like Seinfeld now.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was a kid, I was like, the fuck is this, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
it's a
yeah.
guy in a cafe talking to his friend. I was like, I want to see like Looney Tunes, like people... I was more into like lowbrow, like
yeah.
absurdist stuff,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
like now that I'm older and I started watching it, I really love like I love George Costanza. I would say I love Kramer, but you know, holding with Kramer. But it's kind of awkward. Like there's still Kramer fans and like memes. There's a fan group on Facebook, like thousands of members, and like they all just ignore the fact that he did that because I guess they
yeah because the problem of Kramer, if you don't know, he did a show at the Laugh Factory.
He made the funniest comment about Kramer. He said, you know the video when he's saying the N-word at the Laugh Factory?
Yeah.
Instead of calling it...
I said more than the N-word. This is my point.
Right.
It's where I want to go. It's because if he just said the N-words, not just if he just said.
Right. He was.
He said the N-words, but he said more than that.
He would be hung 50 years ago. Yeah, it was terrible.
It was terrible. He went too far.
I can't relate with that.
And we, because we don't know.
I can't relate. Believe it or not.
No, exactly. But because, and we don't know the pain he got.
Who knows?
When they Eckler him. You know what I mean? So we don't know why he's so pissed off, but the point is he's so pissed off because he's bombing first.
But he also obviously has some racism in his body.
No, man, I know, but you know when you said Kramer is more funny on TV than on stage.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, so you're saying, yeah.
So he's bombing the night and nobody listened to him and he started to be so racist like, and it was when people start to film. Because it was new, it's 2004.
Yeah, it was in the 2000s.
Nobody had phone at the time, but somebody recorded him, you know?
Yeah.
So the guy, it's done. You know, forever, man. You know what I mean?
The video on YouTube is Kramer Meltdown. So the joke that I was told was, imagine if the video was called Comedian Owns Heckler. You get it?
Yeah.
Whatever.
So let's go.
Hey, I'm bombing with Harrison's jokes now.
Let's go. I want to go because I try to find the reason why you became a comedian, you know? So you always try to make people laugh.
My family have mental people in my family too, you know? I absorb who I'm around, you know? So my family are really animated, especially on my mom's side. So they're all Italian on my mom's side.
Okay.
Yeah. So like I have a new joke.
So you're Jewish Italian?
Jewish Italian.
50-50.
Exactly. 50-50. Wow. I do both holidays. So I have an uncle who calls me up. I just honestly, it's the easiest joke writing. Just talk to them, write down what they say. It's that easy. They just feed it to you.
Yeah. So you went to the college.
Yeah.
Did you do comedy there, or you wait when you went
to
comedy?
I was actually trying to do music back then.
Wow.
I was trying to play bass guitar and I love the Chili Peppers, so I was like,
yes.
I was that typical kid who was like trying to slap the bass.
Yes.
Then I realized, oh, I'm just playing the Chili Peppers. You know, and I just sold my guitar. Now I'm trying to play the piano.
Okay.
Hopefully it's not because I saw the movie Rocket Man. You know, did you see that movie?
Yeah.
And I was just blown away by this guy. Like, I'm a huge Elton John fan. Now.
Okay.
And now I'm.
I don't like music, comedy music. I would say that.
Me neither. I know comedy music. Yeah, musical comedy.
Yeah.
Not even
a movie like that. All the time. Ugh.
Actually, there's one guy I could send you a link later. He tells very, very dirty jokes while playing the piano, and he dresses like he's a Victorian times, like, but he, you know, I fucked a dead whore by the roadside, you know, like he talks like that, you know, and the more songs he does, they feed him shots throughout the night, so he gets drunker and drunker, and he creates this like insane land, and I forget his name though.
You know what I feel? If you don't give up, look, you're gonna be a killer comedian, but about when you're gonna find your monster, when you're gonna stop to be shy to show who you are really in comedy, you know, because you're too much thinking about other. When you're gonna say, you know what, this is me, this is what I'm gonna talk, fuck you, man, it's gonna be funny because you're funny, like, man. That, you know what I mean? But you have something inside you, or you're not ready to jump, you know, to be who you are. You know, but you know what I mean?
There's some hesitation because, look, dude, the example I gave you earlier, like, I've made comments on stage that got me in trouble. So there is consequences to your actions, too, you know? So it's like, it's that fine balancing act.
Yes, but at the same time, did you assume what you said?
What do you mean?
When you said the comment, did you have a voice that said, don't say that? Or you said, no, I believe it. I should say that.
I think I was drunk.
Oh.
But I don't drink anymore, so not because I'm an alcoholic, because my body's failing me.
I was okay. So when is your first show
coming up?
No, first show ever in your life.
First show ever. Okay,
remember?
It's a much easier question to answer. First show ever was 2014. I did an open mic at the Comedy Nest.
First show ever, Comedy Nest.
Okay, if you want to know my first time trying to do like a comedy act. My friend, who's like fucking loaded, okay, his family's like in with Bombardier, so like I was on a yacht. So it was the best 7 days of my life. I was wasted for the entire time, just wine, lavish food, cigars, you know, hot tub on the yacht, like just, like I wish they would adopt me, you know, like it would be the best life. I thought maybe they'd be like, oh, we'll adopt this little, they'll pluck this poor Jew out of his family, we'll have a little comedian on the side, piece of furniture, you know? So anyway, so I put on a female sun hat. So the wife, I put on her funny sun hat, and I was drunk, and I was had my fist up as if I had a microphone, and I was pretending to tell jokes, and it was all just like sex jokes about like having sex with animals, and I don't even know what I was saying. It was just absurdities, and they were all laughing. And then they asked me to do a show at their cottage in the country, like in Eastern Township, sorry. And I just, I bombed. And then I was like traumatized.
Okay, so let's go there.
Yeah.
So, okay, you make sure people laugh on the spot, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody laughs. So you should do a show at the cottage with a mic?
They gave me a mic and everything, okay. Yeah.
So.
And it was the worst thing because the people that I was doing comedy for were also fucking rich people. Like, they were like the owner of Subway. It was like Shark Tank, but I was like talking about my dick, you know?
So in the spot, it's funny,
yeah.
But not in the cottage. So everybody's dressed, everybody sit, where everybody eat.
It was. They have their own bar, obviously.
Okay, so how many people was there?
In the room, it was like 10 people. It was like a private, it was just because everybody was at this party. There was a bunch of people upstairs at this huge party.
Yeah.
And they brought me downstairs for the father, the wife, and their friends. And I did a little private show for them.
How much time did you do?
I think I did like 5 minutes, you know.
So 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was a tight five.
So you went there, somebody present you, or just go there, take the mic?
They have, it's a karaoke machine, but they let me do comedy without the music off. Right?
So you go there.
Yeah, and I just, I mean, the first thing I did was, I was like, so, and I put my hand down like this, because I was nervous. I thought I'd be like, lay down, that I'm confident. But I accidentally like broke their hot dog maker. And right away, they're just like, you know, and I was just like, you know, it was the worst thing. But then I finally just like maybe like a year later or so, I didn't even know the Comedy Nest was, I didn't know how to even go to a comedy club.
No. Stay there.
Okay.
So you went on stage.
There wasn't a stage. It was just in a bar in the basement.
In the basement.
Yeah.
You start to do a joke, another joke. Nobody laughs. Nobody listen, everybody listen. Everybody listen. It's 10
one of
people.
My jokes was like, I didn't know it was so hacky because like so many comedians I've heard like, oh, God forbid I see a certain kind of porn and it turns out I like it. You know that kind of joke. Oh, next thing you know, I'm masturbating ducks. I don't want to see duck porn because then I'll like it. I don't want to know that I like it. That whole premise, you've heard of this premise obviously many times, right?
Yeah, but it's not the same joke. Then they laugh in the spa before.
What do you mean?
Because you make people laugh before.
Right.
They said, hey, you should do
it. No, because I didn't write it down. I was just drunk. I was on the yacht and I was just free spirit.
So you don't remember what you said was funny before?
Not really.
So you start with other things.
I was just telling fucked up stories.
Yeah.
You know, and
so why
no,
did
there was no set up punchline. It was just stories.
So why you did not do that?
I was nervous because when I did it on the yacht, I approached them when they didn't expect it. I was in the mood.
Yeah,
no. When they asked me, I was like, you know, thinking, oh, maybe I'll go talk to that girl.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, come downstairs, we want you to do a show. And I wasn't pretty at all. You know?
No.
And especially, I wasn't stupid. Like, I know these people are like not random people. They, like, these people like run the fucking country. You know?
Yeah.
So like, there was a lot of pressure in that sense.
So when did you know on stage you bombed?
Because one of the guys was like, hey. And I was like, all right.
Yeah, is it the Subway guy said that?
They're gonna send me to Guantanamo.
Oh,
right
no.
Now.
So, how did you stop? You said, okay, bye-bye. You remember when?
I think I threw the guy under the bus. I was like, ah, it was Jim's idea. I just threw him under the bus. They all looked at Jim because I was a young drunk. I was like maybe 18 years old.
Yeah.
You know? And they were like, and they looked at Jim, and then, I don't know if I should say his name, but.
It's too late.
Yeah, doesn't say his last name at least.
No, exactly.
And then he was like, well, you know, he's a nice guy. He's a nice kid.
Yeah.
And then they all, and it was fine. It was fine. Yeah. They still invited me back. We're still all friends.
Yeah. Did you stay there in the room?
Oh,
you
no, I got out. Yeah.
So the second show, it's the Nest.
Second show was at the Nest. I did really well.
Okay, so let's go there.
Yeah. So I had one of my. I had a great set.
You said you booked people. How many people you invite?
I invited like 10 friends.
Because
they were excited. Because they always thought that I was a funny guy, but they never knew that I could try comedy on stage. And they were. I think they were a little curious. Like, I want to know if this guy was actually funny all these years, or if he's just an idiot. You know.
Yeah.
And then I confirmed that, and okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
And they were all supportive. Then the second time I went back, they put me back the next.
No, you're too fast, man. So what is the time between the boat, and the Comedy Nest?
I think there was at least a year or two in between.
Okay, so you're 20 years old.
Yeah, there was a long period in between.
So why did you decide to try again?
I don't know. I'll tell you why. Because I discovered stand-up comedy on YouTube, and I was watching, like I said, Bill Burr. And then I saw a video on this website, E-Bombs World, which like all the young people my age, and back in the day, it was like the funny website to go on. And there was this video that says, comedian says N-word. And I was like, oh my God, there's a guy who's famous for saying the N-word, and he's not in the KKK? Like, what is this? I was just curious, and it was Louis C.K. And I was like, and I heard the joke when he talks about, you know, oh, this nigger made the shit out of my coffee, you know, that joke. And I was like, I can't believe you can do that, be supported, and be famous out of doing that. Obviously, this was before the whole, you know.
When he did.
All my idols are failing me over the years.
Yeah, me
this
too.
This guy's shouting the N-word, this guy's doing this.
Me
you
too,
know?
Man.
Ari Lang's nose is like this. You know,
oh
like, what
my,
the fuck?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be the next one. Who knows what my problems
are? Yeah,
no,
because comedy is tough, man.
Yeah, I guess.
There are a lot of demons in our soul. That's why I said you have a lot of demons, man.
Yeah.
When you're going to release them, you're going to be funny. You're not funny, but you're not who, your 100 capacity, who you are. Because to be who you are on stage, look, take years to be comfortable. You said, this is me, fuck off. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I'm only realizing this like a month ago now. So I'm getting that state of mind.
So, yeah, so 2 years, you wait, 20 years old. You said, you find a nest. Why the nest? You could go to the works.
I'll tell you why, because the nest had this thing on their website called Newbie Tuesdays.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, if it's Newbie Tuesdays, there's like less pressure.
Yeah.
I didn't know what an open mic really meant even.
Okay.
I was like, okay, this is called Newbie Tuesdays.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, okay, I'm a noob. If I shit the bed, it's like, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know? So I go to the first show, I did really well.
No, stay there.
Okay.
So you bring people.
Yeah.
You said 10 people.
Yeah.
Did you wrote something? Did you took the same joke?
Yeah. No. I had certain ideas in mind.
Okay.
That I wanted to talk about. Like my grandmother, because she was always like, such a source of anxiety in my life that I figured I'll try to turn this into something that I can joke
okay.
about. And I always, and everyone would make fun of her because she was always so crazy. And then I just talked about her. I talked about some porn that I've seen on the internet. You know, like that guy, I used to talk about this guy who shoved a jar up his ass and then it broke in his ass. And then he had all these fans all of a sudden. They all like supported him. And they're on these weird, you know, the weirdos who liked it. They all, and he's like, and he had an interview. He was like, I didn't realize so many people, like I was always a shut-in. An introvert. Now all these people like me, and like he was happy about it. So I'm like, okay, worked out in the end.
So when you know that you have a spot,
huh?
You when they give you a spot,
yeah.
How did you react in your?
I was excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. All my friends were like, oh, it's his comedy debut, and like.
So you went there.
Yeah.
Remember where you are in the lineup?
I think I was like fourth or something.
So it's good. It's a good place.
Yeah, it was a good place.
Good spot.
I seem to like that place.
Who remember?
John St. Goddard.
John St. Goddard. So this is, what time it is? What year?
2014.
Yeah. So you went on stage. Remember the feeling? Because
I wasn't even nervous.
No, because you bombed before,
yeah.
2 years ago.
I guess so.
So you... What could be worse?
You know why I wasn't nervous? Because I didn't have the identity as a comedian. I was still just a guy trying something.
Yeah, but you bring 10 people.
Right, because I wasn't scared at all. I didn't care if I failed in front of all 10 friends, because in my mind, I was like, it's Newbie Tuesdays. If I suck at this,
so
I'll
you,
just never do it again.
So you prepared to them. Like, it's newbie guys.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
There was no pressure, and they were all like...
So did you bump?
They didn't have their judgmental hats on that night.
Yeah.
They were just on it with me.
Yeah.
No, the first show I did well. Second show I did there, I bombed.
No. Come, stay with me, man. So did you...
No, I said I didn't bomb.
Yeah, but let's see.
Yeah.
Let's go there.
Yeah.
So you didn't bomb. So when you go on stage, you took the mic?
I just...
Or you just leave the mic there?
Oh, no, I took the mic.
Move the stool?
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, if I moved the thing out of the way? I don't know if I did that. I might have just left it there.
Okay, so how many people on the crowd with you, the 10?
There was a good amount of people. Like, I think I might be able to find the video still. Like, you can hear
it.
Oh,
you record it?
My friend recorded it on his phone. Yeah.
So how you feel on stage? When did you realize, like, oh, okay, it's going well?
Just I heard laughter, but even if I didn't hear laughter, I would have just kept going.
Okay.
Because I didn't care at all.
Okay.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, when I started caring over time and I started putting this pressure on myself, then the anxiety would go up because I would compare. Because I would go to a show and I would be like, how come I don't hear the Madison Square Garden clapping and laughing? Because there's three people at a bar.
Yeah.
You know?
So did you see the red light?
Yeah. I actually mentioned, like, is that the light? And then... I obviously was, and I put the mic down, and,
okay.
I, and I was like,
"So you get out of the stage?"
Yeah, it was a good experience.
How did you feel? Remember?
Oh, I felt like a genius.
Okay.
I got lucky though because I got lucky because I've tried. I think it was one of those luck beginner's luck things.
Yeah.
You know? So I thought I was a genius. So I was annoying the shit out of my friends after. I was like,
yeah.
I was trying all kinds of. I thought I was a magician. Anything I say is funny now.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the case.
No. So, but at the time you said, I want to be a comedian.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah, at that point I realized,
2014.
Like, if I could do this, because this guy came up to me and he was like, there's no way this was your first time. And I was like, at an actual show, yeah. And he's like, oh man, you're great, you're amazing. And,
wow.
I was like, it was a random guy, and I was, that fueled my ego and all
yeah,
that so
sure.
much. And then the second show, when I bombed, there was a guy in the audience, and during my set,
I
shouted, sick fuck,
no.
Like during my show, yeah.
It was at the Nest?
The second time I bombed
there. The week after?
I think it was the week after, yeah.
You come back strong,
after.
No friend?
Oh, I thought I was the next big thing.
Okay, so did you do the same stuff?
Not even, no. I had more stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
And somebody said, what they get?
Started strong.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a joke that I did at that show that I still incorporate into my act today, but much different.
Yeah.
So, but the seed that was planted, there's one good joke in there that I still do that's different now. But I started strong. In the middle of the joke, I did a joke about how, like, I wish I was retarded because then I would always be happy or something. And if you Google, like, mental retard, they're never like this. They're always like that. And, like, this guy just shouted, sick fuck. And then I heard that. I was like, oh, shit. Like,
what is the...
What? Sick fuck?
What does it mean?
Sick fuck means, like, you're twisted. So I was like, oh,
Is it true?
In a sense. There's...
Remember the joke? Why you said that?
He was totally justified.
Okay.
Like, I was just going off the rails.
Yeah.
And I lost my...
Somebody said sick fuck in a bad thing, huh?
In a bad way, yeah.
In a bad way.
And then I got nervous and I just kept going. I tried sitting on the stool to be relaxed.
Oh.
And then I looked at the audience and I forgot what I was doing.
Oh.
And then, I don't know if they didn't play me off. I think I just gave up at a certain point.
Okay.
And then, when I got off stage, like, three of my friends were not even in the room to talk to me after. They just left. One of my buddies, he's a funny guy, but he's like mean. He, like, texted me a picture of his grandfather's art. Because he was making this joke about how, like, I think what I'm doing is art, but it's not real art. So he texted me a picture of his grandfather's art and left.
So now you bomb? You know you bomb?
Yeah, I know.
So you.
And then I waited for like a few more months, and then 2015 I started at McLean's. I started just saying, okay, if I fuck up, at least it's at a random bar, you know, it's not going to be at a club that will judge me and remember me.
Yeah.
And then eventually I got confident again to go back to the club.
And you understand what is bombing? Do you know what is bombing now?
Bombing for me,
yeah.
Bombing is not if a joke doesn't work. For me, if a joke doesn't work, but I still know it's funny, I just didn't do it properly.
Exactly.
That's not really a bomb for
exactly.
me. That's just a mistake. But a bomb is like
it's why open mic exists.
Yeah.
So why you put pressure? You know what I mean? When you can bomb, it's open mic. It's for that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the ego is so strong. You know what I mean? You don't want to be you don't want the other comics that you suck. But at the same time. You have to focus on the crowd when the crowd is there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not the comic. The comic will never help you anyway.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
In a sense. I've had, certain comics, have, like, over the years, like, certain guys that are not in Montreal anymore, or they've stopped. I'm sure you've experienced people, they try to get in your head and tell you, hey, Sebastian, those jokes are really good. And even you're like, I don't know.
No,
I think I was the worst ever, actually.
Yeah.
And that's so stupid of them, because it's like, you're like playing chess, you're telling me you're the enemy now.
Yeah.
So it's like they think we're stupid, but they're actually identifying as the enemy, and it's like, oh, great, never gonna listen to anything you say ever again now.
Yeah.
In fact, I appreciate those people because it's like it's almost like you're getting the real truth from the opposite. You know what I'm saying? If you know evil, you'll know the opposite is good at least. So I like that.
So what is motivate you? What forced you to continue in comedy?
Because I'm always writing new ideas, and I like. It's like instead of gambling and then, you know, that rush of, oh, it worked, it's with a joke. And the difference is it's like the gambling rush, but instead of losing money, you just learn. So it's like you get that same risk-taking rush and, you know, you get the attention that you want. If you like making people laugh, obviously, you know, it's a great combination.
Yeah. What is your... we talked about bombing, but remember your best show ever?
My best show ever.
Yeah, remember you said okay, this I okay now I know why I'm doing that.
I've had a few nights where I even impressed myself where I was like you know, I hope I can repeat that.
Yeah.
At the Art Loft.
Art Loft.
The Art Loft.
Shout out to Quinn.
Shout out to Quinn. The Art Loft was a great experience because, like, I didn't know they were filming my sets at a certain point. So because I didn't know the camera was rolling, and, you know, this was back when I would, like, you know, experiment with THC, CBD, and, like, I was playing, like, chemistry set with my brain, you know? Like,
you mean you start to smoke weed?
Yeah, I would try it, okay. You know? I would try with the oil, too.
So you're high on stage?
I would be high on stage.
And they film you?
I didn't know they were filming.
Yeah, yeah.
So I felt like a sorcerer or something. I was just talking about. I have some on video that I posted on my Instagram at Samson Cooperman.
No, don't be shy. Why are you shy, man? Why you do that? It's like I'm here for you.
Thanks.
So yeah. Plug your stuff. Let's go.
At Samson Cooperman. Do you say at or just Samson Cooperman? It's Samson Cooperman on Instagram.
Yes. Do you have a YouTube channel?
No.
You should. You should put the video.
Franco, you know Franco?
Franco.
Tadeo?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's always telling me, he's like, oh, you kids, you know, what are you doing this time? You should be doing other things, you know, the technology, the YouTube.
Yes, exactly,
right. And I realized it's true because people who say comedy takes balls, I say, no. Doing comedy, if it's not recorded, I could go on stage and do all kinds of, I don't know why I'm doing Hitler, but I could do all kinds of crazy shit. And if it's not online, it just, no one ever saw it again. The next day, they forget it. But when you're on YouTube, like, internet is forever kind of thing, like, it's there.
Yeah.
And then people can write me comments. I think people who have YouTube channels have way more courage. Like, you have a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Have way more courage than just going on stage at a random open mic.
No, mate, it's not the same.
Or even a show.
It depends the courage. Because when I'm going to finish with you, I'm going to send that on YouTube. I don't care anymore. I don't care what people are going to think about that. I make peace with that. But I understand what you said. Because first, they say, it's me, it's forever. On stage, it's more stress because it's live. I don't have any reaction when I put a video online.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying.
And the point about Franco Tadeo is no matter who you are in life, you have to show where. If you're not on Instagram, you're nobody. If you're not on LinkedIn, if you're not on YouTube, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you're everybody, if you're everywhere, you're nowhere at the same time because now everybody is there. My grandmother is on YouTube. You know what I mean? No, everybody's a superstar now. So this is the poor and the positive and the negative for that. It's like everybody can succeed now. So the positive is we don't get screwed by big producer, you know?
Right.
We can do our own. So look at that. This is my podcast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's me.
Yeah.
You told me you have a podcast. What's happened with that?
Right, I did have a pilot. We had a pilot. The guy was going to invest up to 10 grand into the project.
Yeah.
And just total failure. Yeah.
What?
It was a total failure. Yeah.
10 grand?
He was going to invest 10 grand. He already invested like 1,000 or something.
So why is that flat?
Look, I mean, I've already spoken about one guy in this episode, but and in a negative way, so I'm not trying to, like, you know, talk shit about anybody, but
okay, yeah, no,
but my partner in the show, like, we had a problem during the taping, I'll just say, and
you have an erection?
It was okay, in my opinion, the failure was funnier than the actual project.
So it was a podcast about what?
It was supposed to be a podcast where it was like Howard Stern meets Dr. Phil. So it was going to be me and my co-host with my friend who's not quite a midget, but he's like a small man. And, like, he just has a rough life, but he's a hilarious drunk guy. Okay, so his name is Scoot. He still texts me every day, Sam, I need to make money. I need to have fun. He always texts me, like, when are we going to do another project? I'm like, fuck, I don't have another project. He's, like, begging me for another opportunity. I'm like, I don't even have another. So it was me, my co-host, and this guy, Scooter.
Yeah.
And we were at a table, and the whole point of the show is we were going to have guests come on the show and basically give us life advice and try to guide us through our vices and our problems. But the problem is that the guests who were having were supposed to be more fucked up than us. So it was like the comedy would be like the blind leading the blind. So instead of having a health expert, we were going to get a bodybuilder who does coke and takes GHB and he eats like horse meat and he's going to have a short life because he's already had a heart attack and so he had male breast cancer.
So this is funny? So why did you not put that on YouTube?
Because we had technical difficulties during the episode.
What do you mean?
Like, basically, one of the people on our show got really fucked up and, like, passed out during the episode and vomited all over the place and, like...
Okay.
I thought it was fucking hilarious.
Wow.
It was... If you were there...
This is recorded?
The guy has the footage, but he's like, you're gonna have to pay me for it now because I had to clean the carpets and we're not doing the project. It's over. I'm telling the guy...
Why the guy vomit?
My co-host.
Yeah. Why? Who is your co-host?
I can't go into it.
Okay, so your co-host?
Because I'm going to get sued, and then I have to sue my doctor to make the money back, and then I'm going to get caught in this whole
thing. So the co-host vomit for what? Why?
You'd have to ask him.
Oh, he was too...
I don't know.
You know. Me, I sweat, I don't vomit, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because it's stress.
I don't
know
if it was stress.
So this is your phone who said you need to put parking?
This means that I have 4 minutes.
Okay, listen. So... now you focus on comedy. So now you're 5 years old in comedy because you started in 2014.
Technically, yeah.
So are you happy where you are now?
I've been lying that it's four for a while, but pretty much five.
Okay. So what do you think about the expo? This is my last question before you go.
Oh man, I know. I'm more of an MMA guy.
What's happened if the baseball are ever in town? If it comes back,
I'd be happy about it. I actually like playing sports. I like baseball. Do I know any stats or like do I know the players' names per se?
Yeah.
Not really.
But you know the expo.
Yeah, I know the expo. I don't know if I've been to a game, but I've been to the Olympic Stadium
where
I used to play.
Wow.
And I can imagine that it must have been a great thing when you were a kid. You know? And I'm sure you were really sad when it all went away. You were like, what the fuck? Imagine if the Raptors just went out, you know, and you were in Toronto. You're like, what the fuck is going
exactly.
on?
Exactly.
So I can't imagine why.
So what do you think about the Montreal Canadiens? Do you think they were going to make the playoff?
No, man. Listen up.
You don't watch hockey?
I'll watch with my friends, and you know, but it's weird, man. I wasn't raised in a conventional way, you know.
Yeah.
like my dad is a huge Kiss fan, and my mom doesn't really care about sports. So like, I just took a liking to karate, martial arts, because of movies and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I go to high school. Everyone's like, "Oh, Pacioretty, Kovalchuk." I'm like, "What the fuck?" You know. And I see the guy hitting the puck with the stick, and I'm like, "I don't care." You know? But when they fight in the hockey match, then I was like, and I see everybody going, hey, I'm like, why don't you just watch fighting then?
Yeah, you're right.
For me, I was like, I think if the best part of every game is the fight, then I don't know.
So you don't care about if they make the playoff or not?
Like, personally, I don't care.
Okay. Do you UFC, do you like soccer?
Yeah, I like playing soccer.
So we're not watching soccer?
Nah, I don't know. I just, if I'm with people and we're back when I would be having beers and stuff, it's a fun time, you know, hitting the things together. Yeah. But I have a friend who was like the biggest nerd in high school who would memorize every fucking statistic and like the pie charts for every player.
Wow.
And then it's gym class, he's wearing pants and he's sitting on the bench because he doesn't want to play. It's like, why do you even care about all this? You're just trying to be cool, you know?
Listen, I want to know, what is your ultimate goal in comedy? I know it's the secret, but... No, let's send that in the universe.
You want to do
a Netflix special? You want to be a Just for Laugh?
By the time I'm good, at a certain level, who knows what will Netflix will even exist? You know.
You know what I mean.
Terminator
when it's a special,
exist.
Huh? A special 1 hour from you. You know what I mean? Something.
Sure. Sure.
What is it? Because we need something.
What do I want to do? Okay, yeah. I would love to be in a writer's room for like maybe a funny show or a funny movie or something.
Yeah.
And I'd also like to be able to do my act, but at the point I'm at right now, I don't know if I can hone the craft as well as it needs to be yet. I'm still getting there.
Yeah.
And we'll see how far I can get with just stand up and how good I can get at it. But I'm actually considering getting like a joke writing book. Just to learn the structure of writing, not jokes to like learn jokes or ideas, just like, for example, I do a joke that apparently I didn't know, it's an ABD joke. So it's like normal thing, kind of normal thing, absurd thing. And that's technically the punch in the joke.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a nerd who's like, I know it's an ABD joke. And I'm like, I don't know, I just need saying a story. But it'd be helpful if I learned the structure, because then maybe I could take my vague abstract ideas and create the compartmentalize the funny part in a clearer way.
Yeah.
So the because sometimes the audience, I've seen comics on TV where like they'll hold the microphone, like let's say this is the microphone, and at the end of the they'll shake the mic at the funny part, and I think that's kind of like a laugh track subconsciously. So there's people in the audience like this, they don't know what's going on, and they go, comedian goes ba ba ba, and they go huh, because they saw that.
Yeah,
I'm starting to like notice weird little techniques like that. I'm not saying it's good to do that, but I'm saying like maybe it could help for me to just learn certain writing methods that can give me some more structure to what I'm trying to do.
So, man, thank you so much. Are you happy to come at No BS with SB?
Yeah, it's an amazing experience. I always love talking to you.
And you know what? Don't give up, man. Focus on your dream, man. Focus on who you are. And someday, though, when you're going to release this pain and this all weird stuff You know, when like the newspaper you made when you're young, you're gonna explode because you're funny, man.
Appreciate it.
Let's go pay your parking, man.
Yeah.